Racism is the belief that humanity is divided into distinct biological groups called races, and that people should be seen and judged according to these racial differences. What are Christians to think about this ism called racism? Does the Bible have anything to say about it? Are there any new dimensions to racism that the church needs to be warned about? Welcome to the program God and Country Radio. I am your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. And today's program is about the evil ideology of racism. But before we begin, I'd like to thank The Bridge for adding God and Country Radio to their programming. We are indeed grateful for the opportunity to work with this relatively new and growing station. In the New York, New Jersey metro, there are very few Christian stations compared to most other cities in America. That is why The Bridge is such an important ministry for our mission field. Like the churches in a region, Christian radio has a profound impact on the spiritual character of a community. And I hope that God and Country Radio can be a blessing to the Bridge audience as we endeavor to help Christians understand the times in which they live. Now, concerning this ideology of racism, I want the Christian community to fully understand how the sin of racism is very subtle and very deep. Racism is so deceptive that most of the social leaders in our world crusading against racism today are the biggest racists of them all. And I would even dare say they are doing more to perpetuate racism than the slave owners of the 19th century. So put on your thinking caps, because we have a lot of truth to discuss in the next 25 minutes. I would like to discuss racism at two levels. First, the obvious surface sin of racism, what we typically consider racism, treating people poorly because of the color of their skin. Then I would like to discuss the deeper second level, scapegoating or victimization. To begin with, let's establish the basic Christian truth about race. And a key text would be Paul's defense of the gospel of Christ before the philosophers of Athens. Paul said on Mars Hill, Acts chapter 17, God made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation. The King James Version translates the text, and has made one blood of all nations of men. Although the Greek word blood is not in the original text, the King James translators correctly bring out Paul's point that there is a unity in the human race. There is only one race, the human race. To talk about different races is really a form of racism itself, because it divides men along fictitious lines. Think about this for a moment. A man has more or less pigment in the color of his skin, and he is asked by colleges and government agencies and census takers to write down that he is different. I am black. I am white. I am Hispanic, because he has a different skin color. How outrageous is that? The amount of pigment in one's skin becomes a criteria for judging others. Imagine a world in which the government divided up every group according to hair color or eye color or whether you had a big nose or a little nose. How offensive would that be? Why should any physical characteristics matter at all? So when you get one of those government census forms on the line for race, don't check off the black box or the white box or the Hispanic box or the Asian. Write in other. Human race, and I'm offended that you even ask. Maybe if enough people do this, we can end these artificial distinctions. We're not Martians, we're not Vulcans, we are part of the human race. Christians do not believe there are different races. In other words, we do not consider family genetic differences as a significant or important distinction between people. We don't try to find power in our race or in our heritage, whether that be black power or white power or Asian power. We don't try to find our self-worth in what the world calls our race. We don't separate ourselves according to these genetic differences. It is foolish to even make these distinctions. Remember the definition of racism: the belief that humanity is divided into distinct biological groups called races, and people should be seen and judged according to these racial differences. We reject that ism because God has made one blood of all people to dwell on the face of the earth. Even science has proven that the Bible is correct. There's one race. Dorothy Roberts, in her book Fatal Invention, writes that the decoding of the human genome has confirmed that human beings are not biologically divided into races. But then she goes on to show that, quote, in this supposedly post-racial age, race has taken on a new and disturbing guise driven by profits and politics. But race is not a biological category, it's a political category. The subtitle of her book is How Science, Politics, and Big Business Have Recreated Race in the 21st Century. The world doesn't want to give up racial distinctions. That, my friend, is the world system. Fallen humanity walks in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Racism is actually one aspect of the pride of life. Remember the Apostle John defined the ideology of the world in rebellion to God? 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is of the world. John was teaching that sin is motivated by either sensual pleasure, the lust of the flesh, a desire to own or to possess, the lust of the eyes, or the desire to feel important and significant, the pride of life. There is nothing wrong with wanting self-worth, but the pride of life is in wanting importance and superiority that doesn't belong to you, or trying to get it in the wrong way. People want to feel important. And the easiest way to lift yourself up is not by working hard and accomplishing something great, but by putting others down. You ever meet these people who constantly criticize others as a way to make themselves feel better? Well, another way to make oneself feel important is to latch onto some superficial difference between you and the next guy, and then believe that makes you superior, such as the color of one's skin. There are shallow, insecure people who want to find some means of finding superiority or identity, so they judge according to appearance. You will find that those who believe in the ideology of racism are the most insecure, jealous, and shallow people. But Christians have a different criteria through which we view the world. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, we read that there is a renewal in Christ, in which there is no distinction between Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or freeman, but Christ is all in all. The point Paul is making is that one's identity, one's worth, is not found in race or culture, but in one's relationship to Jesus Christ. And another very important text of Paul that attacks the foundation of racism is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Paul writes, "From now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer." What Paul is teaching is that because of his conversion to Christ, he no longer evaluates people on the basis of fleshly appearance. That person's a Jew, or he's a Gentile, or he's a barbarian, or he's a Roman. Four verses earlier, Paul said that false teachers are those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. It is false teachers who judge according to race, wealth, money, beauty, conformity to the majority. But this is not the way of the godly. We do not recognize or judge people according to the flesh. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or rich or poor. What matters is your standing with Jesus Christ. It's a whole different way of looking at people and the world through spiritual eyes, not through eyes of the flesh. Now, I want to switch gears here and look at the other, more subtle aspect of racism. And this is the aspect that I want Christians to fully understand, because this aspect of racism is currently far more deceptive and damaging. It is called scapegoating and victimization. It is the sin of racism coming from the alleged victims of racism or from those who use these victims to advance their own self-righteousness, power, and money. Now, let me explain this aspect by referring to the famous quote from Martin Luther King Jr. He said back in the 1960s, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Now, at first, you might think that people would love to live in such a nation. But in reality, people don't want to be judged by the content of their character any more than they want to be judged by the color of their skin. The world hates being judged by the color of their skin, but the world hates even more being judged by the content of their character. Because if you're judged by the color of your skin, your supposed inadequacies are not your fault. But if you're judged by the content of your character, then you're responsible. You have nobody to blame but yourself. And what people hate more than anything else is being judged for who they are in their soul. Being judged in life or being rewarded or punished according to their morals or their ethics or their diligence or their actions or their parenting skills or their education skills or their godliness. Have you ever noticed how people are now hating free market capitalism? Because it's an economic system that rewards or punishes a person according to his contributions, according to his skills and diligence. People don't want to be paid according to the intrinsic worth of the goods and services they provide. They would rather want to be paid according to the amount of money they believe they need. And one of the major reasons people hate God is because God does not judge according to appearances, but he judges righteous judgment. And they would much rather have God judge according to appearances, for then they could be rewarded according to superficial reasons, rather than being rewarded according to their moral integrity. Just think about this for a moment. For the sinner, being judged according to the content of your character is terrifying. And one of the major ideologies of liberal humanism is to free man from God's moral judgment, so as to no longer be judged by the content of his character. Therefore, Martin Luther's dream, where people are not judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, is a nightmare for secular humanists. Of course, people cheered King's quote, but only principled, godly people will ever want to be judged by their character. In the real world, people will do all that they can to keep on believing that people are judging them by the color of their skin, or by their economic status, or by their accent, or by their upbringing. But please, may it never be that people are truly judging us according to the content of our character, for then we will have no excuse. We will have no covering for our failure. In our sinful self, we want our problems to be because of the racism of the Jews or the racism of the Gentiles or the blacks or the whites or the Asians. It can't be my fault. This is why racism as a belief is still held on to dearly by unprincipled politicians, by special interest groups, and by individuals. They will not let go of making distinctions based upon race because racism makes people feel better about themselves, and politicians can't tell people that they're the problem. People want to hear that they're victims. And second, continuing the false religion of racism can be used to secure special favor and sympathy. Please realize that the Christian belief that there is only one race is actually despised by this world. The ungodly leaders want to maintain racial distinctions to further self-serving ends. And if you are a real non-racist, if you are colorblind, you will be despised and mocked by these people as being insensitive. Now, how does this all work out in political ideology? The way it works philosophically is that racism is placed as the main source of all problems. The devil is smart. Our flesh is very deceiving, therefore the main sin problem is always ignored. For instance, Karl Marx, the founder of communism, believed that the main problem with the world was economic disparity. If everyone was equal economically, then we would have peace on earth. The feminists today view the problem of the world through the lens of male patriarchal dominance. If we get rid of the traditional roles of men and women, then we'll have peace on earth. The environmentalists view the problem as man not submitting to nature. Now, there are people today who view every problem in this world through racism. The reason Barack Obama is not successful is because of racism. The reason for crime is racism. The reason for economic problems, racism. The reason for abortion, racism. As is often said, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And when you are taught the ism of racism, every problem looks like the fruit of racism. Now, it's not that there's no racism. Racism is one of the fruits of sin, but it's not the root. There is a majoring on the minors and a minoring on the majors, and that is the darkness that comes over people when they leave the Word of God. When President Obama was a student at Harvard, he was under the teaching of Derrick Bell. Bell founded a sophisticated justification for racism called critical race theory. What Professor Bell taught, and what is being taught in many schools, is that racism is ingrained in the fabric and system of American society. The ideology behind the American Constitution was secretly based upon white supremacy, and it promotes a system that marginalizes people of color. Therefore, the only way to rid the world of prejudice is to completely discard and rewrite our founding documents. Dismantle the American Constitution. And critical race theory becomes a justification for communism and socialism because the American system of free enterprise and liberty is white. And communism is more African and black. That is critical race theory. And of course, there are black ministers and politicians who adamantly reject CRT as the most dishonest and ridiculous way of viewing the world. But there are many people who take this theory seriously, professing to be wise and become fools. Now, I want to say something that's extremely radical and extremely true. In that America has abandoned the Word of God, it is causing America to return to racism. Now, how's that? Let me give you an example. Last month, Governor Christie of New Jersey appointed two nominees for the New Jersey Supreme Court. One was white, the other was Japanese. Immediately, certain people cried, "Diversity in New Jersey should always include African Americans." Others cried, "No, diversity in New Jersey should always include Latinos." These people actually wanted people to judge others by the color of their skin. And the clever justification for this is this new concept of diversity. But that sounds very shallow, doesn't it, to say that there needs to be different skin color. So the excuse for diversity is that different races have different experiences and different values, and therefore their perspectives need to be represented. According to biblical Christianity, that which is morally right has nothing to do with our culture or our background, but according to the higher principles that God has established and are known to all men. There really should be no serious conflict over the principles of justice simply because someone is white or black. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 17, Moses tells the judges, "You shall not show partiality in judgment, for the judgment is God's." That is Christian jurisprudence. Lady Justice wears a blindfold. She doesn't notice people's color or background because the law of God has nothing to do with that. But what if we now live in a world that doesn't believe in the Word of God and judges right and wrong by personal preference? What is really at the root of this new racism is secular humanism, because the values of right and wrong are not fixed by the unchanging, eternal law of God. Law and values are only a function of human wants and experiences. Therefore, humanism must continue the ism of racism because social law and politics is only a function of different human preferences. Your values are considered only a function of your race, not as coming from God, but of your own experiences. You only think that your beliefs in right or wrong are from God. But in humanism, the God of Israel is a made-up God of racist Jews. You have evolved from slime. And your brain is formed to create its own values. Values that you don't even realize. So what people are saying today, if you disagree with them, is that you're a racist and you don't even know it. You can't help it. And that's what happens when law becomes a function of diversity and human preference rather than a function of the Word of God. And this is what's being taught in political science and sociology classes in state and community colleges. Just read the textbooks. And this ideology of secular humanism is bringing us back under the tyranny of racism, for it's only Christianity and its truth that removes the artificial boundaries between men. People are now wanting to even more distinguish others on the basis of race. There is a return to segregation. The left has flip-flopped from the 60s. And if you're familiar with the current ideology taught on college campuses, you know that the left is now saying integration is racism. Blacks and whites need their own graduation ceremonies, their own college dorms, their own neighborhoods. To be colorblind or to be race neutral is now called racism because you're not acknowledging or celebrating race. Every group wants to be recognized. And it's downright silly, but these people think it is serious justice and fairness. Ron Christie, conservative black professor at George Washington University, has written a book called Black Words. Not backwards, but B-L-A-C-K words. Black Words is about how black leadership is returning America to the days of separate but equal. There is a new apartheid happening in America. And the black and white liberals are all in favor of this because they want to view and judge people by racial differences and not by the Word of God. For they glory in racial identity and they work to maintain this climate of grievances between the races, a climate of differences. And what the left is really promoting is a new Nazism, though they would never admit it, because Nazism was built upon the ideology that individuals belong primarily to racial and ethnic groups. And it is their ethnic groups that give them their core identity. But all this is contrary to what the Word of God teaches, but this is the ideology of the world, the ism of racism. Unfortunately, this is all that we have time for today. But let me conclude by saying that this world is one big mess, and I'm sure you'd agree with me. But in Jesus Christ, we are freed from the games that this world is playing. I was thinking about this the other day. When you come to Christ, not only do you receive forgiveness and eternal life, but there is another fringe benefit that is such a blessing. It's common sense. You see, the scriptures say that the unbelievers are groping in darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says that the unsaved walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. But when you come to Christ, you become children of the light, for you have the life and the wisdom of Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I pray that you would come to know him and become part of his kingdom. This has been God and Country Radio, program number 63. Go to our website, godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again, along with past programs. Let us know what's on your mind. And if you want to discover more about faith in Jesus Christ, we would certainly love to correspond with you. That is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for listening. Join us again next week. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you do not judge us according to man's judgment, but that you have provided a way by which we can be saved from the true judgment we deserve. Help us to show others that the most important issue is what does a man do with Jesus Christ? In his name we pray. Amen.